from something from last week. Then I heard the following words in my soul. You will receive a greater reward for your obedience and subjection to your confessor than you will for the practices which you will be carrying out. It's obedience. Know that, my daughter, and act accordingly. Anything, no matter how small it be, that has the seal of obedience to my representative is pleasing to me and great in my eyes. So, obedience. It's a kind of humility. First of all, we can have peace. Also, to do the will of God, we have to be humble ourselves. Small practices for Lent. Although I wish and desire to do so, I cannot practice big mortification as before because I am under the strict surveillance of the doctor. But I can practice little things. First, sleep without a pillow. Keep myself a little hungry. Every day with my arms outstretched, say the chaplet which the Lord taught me. Sleep without pillow. Keep myself a little hungry. Every day with my arms outstretched, say the chaplet which the Lord taught me. Occasionally, with arms outstretched, for an indefinite period of time, pray informally. Intention: to beg divine mercy for poor sinners and for priests, the power to bring sinful hearts to repentance. My contact with the dying is, just as it has been in the past, very close. I often accompany a person who is dying far away, but my greater joy is when I see the promise of mercy fulfilled in these souls. The Lord is faithful. What He once ordains, He fulfills. He said, when you say the chaplet of divine mercy before a dying person, all graces can come. A certain person is outward, was beginning to die. Amid terrible tortures, she was dying for 3 days, and not yet. Sometimes, regaining consciousness, everyone in the ward was praying for her. I longed to go to her, but Mother Superior has forbidden me to go to visit the dying. So I prayed for that poor soul in my room. But when I heard that she was still in agony and there was no saying how long it was going to take, I suddenly felt inspired in my soul and said to the Lord, Jesus, if all I do is pleasing to you, I ask you as evidence to let that soul stop suffering and pass on immediately to a happy eternity. A few minutes later, I learned that the person had passed away so peacefully and quickly that they did not even have time to light the candle. I will say a word more about the spiritual director. It is strange that there are so few priests who know how to pour power, strength, and courage into a soul so that it can make constant progress without getting tired. Under such direction, a soul, even of lesser strength, can do much for the glory of God. And here I discover the secret, namely, that a confessor, or rather the spiritual director, does not make light of the rifles that a soul brings to him. And when the soul notices that it is being controlled in this, It begins to exert itself and does not omit the slightest opportunity to practice virtue and also avoids the smallest faults. And from these efforts, as with little stones, there arises within the soul a most beautiful temple. On the contrary, if the soul notices that the confessor neglects these little things, it likewise neglects them and ceases to give an account of them to the confessor, and worse still, will begin to grow negligence in little things. So important, if the confessor can capture something small but also important, then the soul can grow. Otherwise, if the confessor missed that, doesn't see that, and then sure, the repentant does not have such notices, so that's her experience. Thus, instead of going forward, it gradually retreats backward and become aware of the situation only when it has already fallen into some serious trouble. Here, a serious question poses itself. Who is at fault? Here, the soul in question or the confessor? Whose responsibility? That is to say, the director? Question mark. It seems to me that all the blame should be put on the imprudent director. The soul's only fault is to have taken upon itself the choice of a director. The director could well have led the soul along the road of God's will to sanctity. This was to she is telling the priest. The soul should have prayed ardently and at greater length for a director, and should have asked the Lord Himself to choose a spiritual director for it. What begins in God's will, be godly, and what begins in purely human manner will remain human. God is so merciful then that in order to help a soul, He Himself chooses the spiritual guide and will enlighten the soul concerning the one before whom it should uncover the most hidden depths of its soul, just as it sees itself before the Lord Jesus Himself. And when the soul considers and recognizes that God has been arranging all this, it should pray fervently for the confessor, that he might have the divine light to know it well. And let it be not change such a director except for a serious reason. Just as it had prayed fervently and at great length in order to learn God's will before choosing a director, so too should it pray fervently and at great length to discern whether it is truly God's will that he leave this director and choose another. If God's will is not absolutely clear, he should not make this change. For a person will not go far by himself, and Satan wants justice to have the person who is aspiring for sanctity direct himself, because then without doubt he will never attain it. He said once again, if God's will is not absolutely clear, he should not make this change, not change the director. For a person will not go far by himself. You have to look for God's desire, whether you change or not change. Not just you want change and change and change and change. This up to you, this is not the correct attitude. And Satan wants justice to have the person who is aspiring for sanity direct himself, because then, without doubt, he will never attain it. So the seventh way is not following God's will. So many little things, the Satan can do something in a way of sanity. You know, just little things, but there's an exception. That is when God himself directs the person, but the director will immediately recognize that the person in question is being guided by God himself. God will allow him to know this clearly and distinctly. Now such a person should be even more under the director's control than anyone else. In this case, the director does not much guide and point out the road along which the soul is to journey, but rather he judges and confirms that a soul is following the right path and is being led by good spirit. So what is important is not that how he knows, how he directs, but he points out, are you on the right path? Is it correct? You know, still Jesus is the director, no? I think the spiritual director is there to make it clear whether it is from your side or from Jesus. He's to discern together. It's not a director, I should do so, of course it helps, but it's important following his light. In this situation, director should be not only holy but also experienced and prudent. And the soul should give priority to his opinion over that of God himself. For then the soul will be safe from illusion and deviations. A soul that will not fully submit its inspirations to the strict control of the church. A soul that will not fully submit its inspiration to strict control of the church, that is, to the director, clearly shows by this that a bad spirit is guiding us. So if someone just keep it for himself and not open to the priest, in a certain sense, the priest is represent the church. If you humble enough, open, say whatever God gives you, and let it be, so the director will guide you on the right path. Otherwise, you keep it, he doesn't know anything. This is my strict direction from God, no? Sometimes we might be out of pride. So from pride, also we can deviate ourselves. Not easy to discern. Satan is very, 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 very clever. He doesn't want us to listen to the right word of God. Sometimes give some confusions, some personal things. So it's not, Satan is doing all his best to deviate the souls towards God directly. So we have to pray hard. The director should be extremely prudent in such cases and test the soul's obedience. Satan can even clothe himself in a cloak of humility. The soul. But he does not know how to wear the cloak of obedience, and thus his evil designs will be disclosed. But the director should not be overly afraid of such a soul, because if God puts that special soul in his care, he will also give him great divine light regarding it. For otherwise, how could he deal wisely with the great mysteries which take place between the soul and God? So at times, it's a difficult task for the spiritual director also, whether it's from God or from both. Have to be humble and to obedience and to prayerful. Otherwise, if anything's human, it's going the round other way. out of way. I myself suffered a great deal and was much tried in this respect for sinner. Therefore, I'm writing only about what I myself have experienced. It was only after many novenas, prayers, and penances that God sent me a priest who understand my soul. Oh, there would be many more saintly souls if there were more experienced and saintly confessor. Many a soul earnestly striving for sanity cannot manage by itself during times of trial and abandons the road to perfection. It's always trials. So get a good confessor or spiritual director is one of the way that it can keep us keen on the road of sanity, because at times we might be tired, you know, disillusioned, temptations, human weakness. You can imagine. That's why you have to have the blessed sacrament always before us and us, just like all the souls in his time, just get close to him, touch his cloak, ask for sights. Lord, let me see. O Jesus, give us fervent and holy priests. Oh, how great is the dignity of the priest, but at the same time, how great is his responsibility. What has been given you, O priest, but much will also be demanded of you. February 11, 1937. Today is Friday. During Mass, I suffered pain in my body, in my hands, my feet, and my side. That Jesus, the stigmata, no? The five, the hand, feet, and the side, no? She has this kind of stigmata. Internal, no external. Some externals, the priest with the stigmata, what's the name? Father Pio. He's also outward, no? All the time he has blood coming out from his feet, from his hand. But she is the one who, from internal pain. During Mass, I suffered pain in my body, in my hands, my feet, in my side. Jesus is sending me this kind of suffering that I may make reparation for sinners. So anything suffering, offer it for sinners. Not necessarily the stigmata, but also important, offer. Many times we just complain, why this, why that? Instead of asking why, thank you, Jesus, for you, for sinners. The pain is brief, but very severe. I do not suffer more for more than a couple of minutes, but the impression remains for a long time and is very vivid. Even there's no more pain, but still the kind of, you know, that's the person I met many times, the woman in Canada, his name is Lillian Barnes. She also has stigmata, especially during Lent, pain, and then on Good Friday, the blood comes out. And he said the whole year, even not, cannot see any sign, it's pain. Even close your eye, it's painful. So some souls, they are the victim soul. They really, minutes by minute or seconds by seconds, offer themselves for sinners. They are the one who paid for us, or prayed for us and paid for us. Today, I feel such desolation in my soul that I do not know how to explain it even to myself. So at times, the feeling is gone unallowing. suddenly, this kind of depression, doesn't know where, you stand in the mud and cannot come out. You know, this kind of not allowing. I wanted to hide from people and cried endlessly. No one understands a heart wounded by love. And when such a heart feels itself abandoned in tyranny, no one can comfort it. O souls of sinners, you have taken the Lord away from me. But all right, you get to know how sweet the Lord is, and let the whole sea of bitterness flood my heart. I have given all my divine comforts to you. There are moments when I mistrust myself, when I feel my own weakness and wretchedness in the most profound depths of my own being. And I have noticed that I can endure such moments only by trusting in the infinite mercy of God. Patience, prayer, and silence, these are what give strength to the soul. Patience, you cannot get it over in a minute. Go ahead, then. Prayer and silence. At times you try to speak out. There are moments when one should be silent and when it would be inappropriate to talk with creatures. These are the moments when one is dissatisfied with oneself, and when the soul feels as weak as a little child. Then the soul clings to God with all his might. At such times, I live solely by faith. When I feel strengthened by God's grace, then I am more courageous in speaking and communicating with my neighbors. So at times people is talking to her, you need to heal yourself, you know, accept yourself first. Not that someone come and then you just share all this. In the evening, the Lord said to me, "My child, rest on my heart. I see that you have worked hard in my vineyard." And my soul was flooded with divine joy. February 12, 1937. Today, the presence of God is piercing me through and through, like a ray from the sun. My soul is longing for God so intensely that I fall into a swollen every now and then, I feel eternal love touching my heart, and my littleness cannot bear it. And this causes me to swoon. Still, my interior strength is great, and my soul wants to match the love with which it is loved. The soul at such moments has a very deep knowledge of God, and the more it comes to know him, the purer and more fervent does its love for him become. How unfathomable are the mysteries of the soul and God. God is mysterious, but also our human soul is also mysterious. Divine. We are born, especially by the Blessed Sacrament, we are divinized. So we have this kind of nature, but only the body cover up so many things that we can experience the presence of God. But just let go a little bit out of cells, and maybe it's a time to more only for him. Sometimes there are whole hours when my soul is lost in wonder at seeing the infinite majesty of God abasing itself to the level of my soul. Unending is my interior astonishment that the Most High Lord is pleased in me and tells me to himself. And I immerse myself even deeper in my nothingness because I know that I know what I am of myself. Still, I must say that I, in return, love my Creator to fully with every beat of my heart and with every nerve. My soul unconsciously drowns in Him. I feel that nothing will separate me from the Lord, neither heaven nor earth, neither the present nor the future. Everything may change, but love never. It is always the same. He, the immortal mighty one, makes his will known to me that I may love him very specially. And he himself makes my soul capable of the kind of love with which he wants me to love him. I bury myself more and more in him and I fear nothing. Bury yourself into him and you fear nothing. You're afraid of many things because you don't have him by your side, in him. Love has overtaken my whole heart. Even if I were to be told of God's justice and of how even the pure spirits tremble and cover their face before him, sing endlessly holy, which would seem to suggest that my familiarity with God would be to the detriment of his honor and majesty, I would reply, oh no. And once again, no. In pure love, there is room for everything, the highest praise and the deepest adoration. Yet the soul is immersed in him in deepest peace through love. And the words of people speaking from exterior have no effect upon that soul. If you're immersed in him, in Christ, human words or behavior shouldn't affect us much. Even people shouting to us with no respect, if we have Jesus in us, deep down, we are in peace. So don't be afraid if you have God. And the words of people speaking from exterior have no effect upon the soul. What they tell the soul about God is but a pale shadow in comparison to his own experience of himself, of him. It is often surprised how other people can be struck with admiration at what someone else says about God when, for this soul, it's nothing special as it knows that what can be put into words is not yet that great. So this soul listens to everything with respect, but has his own special life in God. February 13, 1937. Today, during the Passion service, I saw Jesus being tortured and crowned with thorns and holding a reed in his hand. Jesus was silent as the soldiers bustling about, weighing with each other in torturing him. Jesus said nothing, but just looked at him. Look at me. In that gaze, I felt his pain. So terrible that we have not the faintest idea of how much he suffered for us before he was crucified. My soul was filled with pain and longing. In my soul, I felt great hatred for sin. Even the smallest infidelity on my part seemed to me like a huge mountain for which I must expiate by mortification and penance. When I see Jesus tormented, my heart is torn to pieces. And I think, what will become of sinners if they do not take advantage of the Passion of Christ? In his Passion, I see the whole sea of mercy. So we finish up here. and just live, keep this presence of Christ, especially His passion, that period. So don't be afraid, only Him in our soul together.